Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's call. This is Hera Brown, and our call today is Embracing the Divine Feminine. And we have a guest expert today who is going to share with us the topic of embracing the divine feminine. She is Lynette Dooley, and she is the founder of Wellsprings Women's Program. Lynette has spent the last 15 years on a journey of unearthing the divine feminine within herself, answering the question, what does it mean to be a woman? What she discovered, she put into a powerful program, the Wellsprings Women's Program. Each course focuses on one key aspect of a woman's experience, names our cultural inheritance, and then explores new perspectives that are grounded in the divine feminine. The courses act as a guide for women, helping to create awareness as women work to reown and redefine their lives in a way that is meaningful for them. The path of the divine feminine is for women who are looking for a deeper resonance within their lives. It seats a woman into her values, into her body, and into her life experiences. The Wellsprings Women's Program and the journey of unearthing the divine feminine is powerful in its ability to transform a woman's sense of self as she lives, is powerful in its ability to transform a woman's sense of self, and she invites you to join her on this journey. And her website, and I'll repeat it again at the end, just so you know, is wellspringswomensprogram.com. Lynette, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Hera.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know what? This is such a fascinating topic, and I'm so eager to chat with you and have our members hear the teleseminar today, because you're so right. You know, what does it really mean to be a woman? I mean, that's such a great question. So with that, I just want to get right into it because I've got lots of questions for you, okay?
Okay, great, great.
Okay.
And thank you,
great.
Hera, for having me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So why don't we get started right away and just share with us and with the members, what is the divine feminine?
Okay, well, let me speak generally first, and then we'll get more specific. So it is a fundamental archetypal energy. So something that is archetypal is a pattern or model that occurs everywhere. The divine masculine is an archetypal energy. So, you know, with your energy work, I think your people are probably familiar with yin and yang, God, goddess.
Yep.
So each of these embodies aspects of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. They are ways of expressing the divine feminine and the divine masculine energy. So what I want to say is what is considered feminine or masculine is culturally defined, and so it varies. Those are roles that we create. They're social constructs, and the culture that we're brought up in determines how these energies are expressed or what is considered feminine or masculine. But the fundamental divine feminine and divine masculine energies are a constant. They transcend the limitations of these roles. So women and men both have divine masculine and divine feminine energy.
Well, I agree with that, and you're right. One of the principles in feng shui is the polar opposites, yet complementary energies of yin and yang. So just with the with the god and goddess and the male and female. So then,
your people are familiar with that.
Yes, my members are familiar with that.
Right.
Because that is a universal feng shui principle. So how might the divine energy appear in our personal experiences?
Okay. So the divine feminine can be experienced as the source of our being, our knowing, our intuition, our instincts, our inner life, where the divine masculine energy is experienced more as the manifested reality, the rational mind, just the facts, the external life. So the divine feminine can be said to be the inspiration, while the divine masculine is the energy that takes that inspiration and works towards manifesting it. So both the divine masculine and the divine feminine are aspects of a greater field of divine intelligence, and balancing them in our lives means that we live within the knowing of the abundance and inspiration of the creative feminine forces, which are unlimited, while choosing to focus our energy towards a purpose or a passion. So the divine masculine is always grounded into the divine feminine, which is its source. The divine feminine is the basis.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. But how is right. I don't understand how that is different from how we live today. So how does that show up? What does that look like?
Okay. In our culture today, we enthrone the rational mind. You know, when the mind runs the show, when it is not grounded into the divine feminine, the mind becomes uprooted and tends to run amok. So we lose touch with our instincts, our knowing. And I think we all know what it feels like to have an uprooted, ungrounded mind. So what we are missing is the experience of grounding our outer reality into our inner knowing. We have a really great disconnect in our culture today.
So is that, I'm just curious, is that, when you say the ungrounding and the unknowing, is that when a woman feels, I want to just pry a little deeper for a moment, like when a woman feels, or like when I feel scattered or unsure about how to proceed in a particular situation, or I'm confused about my life, whether in general or a particular area? The reason I ask is because, you know, in feng shui, when, you know, I've feng shui'd over 1,000 homes, and clients, mainly women, you know, they usually have a particular area that they need and ask, you know, for assistance on, whether it's the area surrounding their financial life or their relationship life or their health. And so I'm just wondering if that unknowing feeling, does that show up as being confused in, you know, in particular areas of our life? Is that what you're talking about and referring to?
Yeah. Yes, because what happens is, we, in our culture, we're just not, we're really not programmed, or it's really honored, you know, to ground into the feminine. And so we get programmed by externals, and, you know, we think, oh, this is telling me what I should do, or this is telling me what I should do, instead of learning to really go deep inside and, you know, being led by the deep feminine, or that deep inner knowing and intuition. Yeah, so it's a great level of disconnect. Yes, okay. That is it.
I'm getting it. That makes sense to me. So then,
right.
When you say the divine, or the when you say the path of the divine feminine, then what does that mean exactly?
The path of the divine feminine is choosing to ground our perspective, or the way we see our lives, our experiences, our values, into a consciousness of the divine feminine. So what that means is embracing the value and sacredness of all life, including the planet Earth. It means choosing to live a meaningful life. It means honoring our feelings, the interior life. It means embracing our personal and evolving. It means embodying joy, even ecstasy. It means choosing to be present in our lives. It means choosing practices that help us to cultivate awareness, and your work does that. It means honoring our personal rhythms. It means working to heal our wounding so that we can ground into our bodies, into our knowing and create an inspired life. So really, the path of the Divine Feminine is returning to a grounding of our lives into a greater or a deeper knowing. It's just a deeper wisdom. And again, instead of being controlled by externals.
Sure. Well, even in just your description of you know, the path of the Divine Feminine and what it means, you know, as you shared each of the different perspectives of, you know, valuing the sacredness of life, including the planet Earth, and, you know, choosing to live a meaningful life, you know, even just hearing the words and hearing those sentences is actually empowering, I think, because you're right, it reminds us and brings us back to who we really are as women.
Yeah.
So why then are women embracing this path? Is it for that reason?
Yeah, I think women are looking for something that resonates true to their experience. And let's just go and look over some numbers. The Shriver Report, I don't know if you're familiar, came out in 2009, so really about 2 years ago. It was called A Woman's Nation Changes Everything, and it basically said that women were not happy. So
wow.
let's look at some numbers and see where women are at right now in three areas: education, work, and money. So right now, more women than men are entering college. The number of medical students and law students is now about 50% men, 50% women. Barbara Tedlock, in her book, The Woman in the Shaman's Body, says that women who enter medicine or the ministry still believe they are stepping into a strictly men's field, when in fact these are historically women's fields that men have since entered. So, you know, women have argued their way back into the halls of education. And I say back because we know that the earliest communities were centered around a temple life that worshipped a goddess, and it was in these temples that written language and mathematics originated. Learning and knowledge was facilitated in an increasingly complex temple environment. In fact, Pythagoras, you remember your high school geometry and the Pythagorean theorem? Yeah, we don't really want to.
I don't think I have.
Pythagoras was educated by a priestess. So really, women were core to education and learning. We lost the right to, over time, because of historical changes, we lost the right to be in the halls of education, and now we're back. Okay, we're back to where more women are entering college than men. Okay, so that's in the field of education. So work, in the field of work, women are now at least 60% of the workforce. 3 in 10 working women make all or almost all of their family's income, and 6 in 10 earn about half their family's income. So women are now a substantial part of the workforce.
Okay.
And in the field of money, women now control about half of the household wealth in the U.S. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I think I've heard it a little bit here and there with different statistics, you know, how many women entrepreneurs there are, how the numbers of, you know, women that have started their own businesses, that are independent. So, and I know that number has been increasing.
Yeah, women lead the field in starting small businesses. So these facts are from the Business and Professional Women's Foundation. They produce a 101 facts on the status of working women. And these numbers are, the latest numbers we have are from 2007. So anyway, but, you know, there we are. It, you know, sounds pretty good for women, right?
Well, it does. So, and a couple of things came up for me. One is that's probably why I have seen a kind of a resurgence or a trend in popularity with terms such as goddess and diva, or I'm just trying to think of some of the ones that come to mind. The I haven't seen really priestess too much, but the goddess, you know, like even in book titles, in
yes.
programs, you know, things like that, those terms that we can, that, you know, that we want to connect to because
right.
they describe an ancient wise woman, really.
Right. Right.
So then why aren't women happy? You said in the report it says that women aren't happy. I mean, you know, that large number of women who are not happy, which, you know, I kind of believe. So, but what
yeah,
is it? Why aren't women happy?
That's the big question. Okay, so here's the other half of the story. We've entered a system that was created by men for men. We can actually go back in time and see evidence of a very different social cultural model than we have today, one where women played a central role. And then we can move forward in time and see evidence of the loss of basic human rights for women. Women who were the first priestesses, well, there were priestesses before there were priests. Women lost the right to represent the divine. They lost the right to have a voice in the public arena. They lost rights over their bodies and rights concerning their children. So due to some cultural changes, women basically lost their voice. And so the culture that we live in today, it really does not reflect a woman's voice or a woman's values. The culture has repressed the divine feminine and devalued women, while without the feminine, the culture is out of balance. So that's why you're seeing that resurgence of, you know, the goddess, the divine feminine, that whole kind of feminine energy is coming with women.
Well, and I like that idea personally. So how does this, because, you know, it kind of makes me a little bit sad as well that, you know, that women aren't happy. And I think that you're right with programs like yours, how you offer courses and embracing the divine feminine, and in courses like mine where I share with my members, you know, how to create a home, and not just a home, but a home and the home within themselves, you know, to
right.
create a better and more positive, more fulfilling experience. So how does this affect women? You know, you said that women aren't happy. We know they're not happy. So how does this actually affect women then?
Okay, so we just talked about, you know, we live in a culture that wasn't created by women or for women. So what does that mean? Okay, we live in a culture where the male norm is the standard in every area. And this influences a woman's perception of herself and her experiences. It fundamentally alters how we see ourselves. It flavors how we see what we value in our life. So here's a quote. I know a lot of women are familiar with Christian Northrup. She wrote Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. She
mm-hmm.
says, "The state of a woman's health is indeed completely tied up with the culture in which she lives and her position within it, as well as the way she lives her life as an individual." So we really get our programming from the culture. So our culture, which has suppressed the divine feminine, which is really a woman's voice, basically informs a woman of her value. And we know from, you know, books like Reviving Ophelia, young girls pre-puberty are confident in who they are without apology. And later on, these same girls will have internalized the messages from the culture and they begin to shut down. So now that women are finding themselves with the power to choose, you know, we now have the education, we're in the field work, you know, more than 60%, and we have
right.
the money. Yeah, we have the power to define things for ourselves. Women are choosing to reconnect with something that reflects their experiences.
I love that. So then
yeah.
can you give me, I'm just curious, can you give me an example of what the male norm standard looks like?
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit because it's good. It's always good to name something and bring it into our awareness. So, okay, I mentioned earlier that the fields of medicine and religion used to be the domain of women. They were the domain of women before they were the domain of men. But the early church embraced women as prophetesses. But as the church became institutionalized, it became under the direction of men. It became a male-only institution, and women were shut out. And they were really shut out not only in having a voice, but in the developing of the church. So in the witch hunts that were controlled by the church went after women healers and then declared a class of men doctors who initially had no formal training. So it was really disempowering for women. And then women were not permitted into the developing medical institutions. So centuries of traditional healing practices were discredited along with women healers. We lost a lot of traditional wisdom. So, you know, there you have women being excluded both from the church and healing medical practices. In the world of business, women have had to jump through hoops. You know, we talk about breaking the glass ceiling. They've had to jump through hoops to secure positions in management. And today, you can actually read that the stats show women actually make better managers. And one quality that makes a good manager is high emotional intelligence. And we know we have high emotional intelligence, right?
Sure.
So women tend to be more relational than men. So those are two examples, or three, you know, in the field of medicine, the church,
right,
or religion, and the field of business.
You know, have any other examples?
Let's take a look just in our recent history. Well, first of all, in the world of microfinance, I don't know, I've heard a lot of this recently, the microfinance communities that are investing in women, small business women, and, I just lost my train of thought. We've read how when you invest in women, women then in turn invest in their families and in the community.
Right.
Where when you invest in men, men tend to be bigger risk takers, and they just don't have the same communal focus. So in microfinance, it's actually beneficial to invest in the women.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And then, in the past decade, we've seen several large cases where women were the whistleblowers. And I know this is recent history, so we'll all know what this is all about. Sharon Watkins at Enron. She wrote the memo warning Ken Lay that the company's accounting practices were shady. Cynthia Cooper was an auditor at WorldCom and revealed the largest known bookkeeping scam. And then FBI agent Colleen Rowley, she was the woman who disclosed incompetence in the counterterrorism efforts after 9/11. And each of these women at the time were the chief breadwinners in their family. So for them to blow the whistle meant jeopardizing a paycheck. And so the Harvard Crimson Review asked, you know, here are these women who are outside the boundaries of real power, close enough to see inside, but, you know, far enough to have no way in stopping it. Why was it the women who were the whistleblowers? And Time Magazine actually featured this. Why was it the women? They didn't answer this definitively, but they were just asking the question, are we not as invested or indoctrinated in the system? So I think women intuitively know something is missing for them, something is fundamentally off, and again, in area after area, women were excluded from participating in the creation of institutions and social culture. So I just don't think we're buying into the male model.
Well, is that why then when you said that women aren't happy, or you know, when we ask the question why aren't women happy, is that because women aren't buying into the culture, or they're just starting to gain more independence? You know, why aren't women happy? Because to some degree it's just a matter of choice, but that choice may not be as easy. Well, without the awareness.
Right. Yeah, I think we women have internalized so much programming that really does resonate true for us. So, you know, we worked really hard to get back into the halls of education, to enter the work field, you know, to have the power of money. We worked really hard for that, and that's the masculine energy that we have. You know, we have to honor that within ourselves too. But the wisdom of the feminine was suppressed. And so women became disconnected from their own internal guidance, from their instincts and their intuition. So in this whole process, you know, we've learned really well how to do the male model, and I think now we have to reconnect with the divine feminine within ourselves, which teaches us to honor ourselves, to reconnect with the innate wisdom of our bodies, and practices that honor a woman's experience of life. And when a woman does this, she will know what she needs to do to be happy. She will bring the fullness of who she is to her work, to her family, her relationships. We really have lost the vision of a powerful, multifaceted feminine in our culture. We don't have that picture in the culture. And again, that's why I think people are returning to the goddess image. It's just an image that women respond to. And the work of grounding into the divine feminine transforms a woman's sense of self. We have really come out of a period, like I say, where women were devalued. So we're having to rework that. So from this place of grounding into her experience of life, into her sense of being, a woman can begin to bring forth the wisdom that is needed into the public sphere. And it is this voice, you know, through women, the voice of the divine feminine speaking through women, that we can restore balance to a system, to a culture that's very out of balance.
Well, I hope before the end of... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Do you think...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I hope before the end of our call, you're going to share with us an idea or two for the members on really what can they do today to begin that process of creating that grounded energy within their lives. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more about about what this path can offer women.
Okay, so the work really introduces women to a whole new world of thought that supports a woman's experience of life. And besides learning our history, you know that history was written by men for men, and that women have been excluded from history. That's why it's his story. And it's important
His story.
Yeah. It's important for women to know what her story is.
Where'd you find that? I've never seen that. I got to interrupt. I've never, ever heard that.
I have
that.
Heard it. Yeah. Oh. It really is his story. You know, this women's history was written by men for men. And it's important to talk about these things because when we name them, we bring them into our awareness. And then we can begin to look at something differently.
I don't know if I'll be able to look at history, his story, the same anymore. Wow. Okay, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just never heard that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's pretty interesting. Okay, I'll let you continue. Sorry.
Hopefully you won't look at anything the same again. That will be great. So
wow,
Gerda Lerner, in her book, The Creation of Patriarchy, says the myth that women are marginal to the creation of history and civilization has profoundly affected the psychology of men and women. So both men and women have internalized our women's absence in the history books. And what we actually learn when we look a little closer is a different story than the one told by men. This almost sounds heretical, you know? But in fact, the earliest stories are female-centered origin stories because we know that the earliest religions, or if you want to call it that, were goddess-based religions.
Okay.
So beyond beginning to look at our history and, you know, looking at her story as opposed to his story, beyond that, we can, from the area from sexuality to spirituality, from menstruation to menopause, and owning our bodies, we can begin to look at our cultural inheritance. And what that means is we can look at what this male-dominated culture has bequeathed to us as women, and then we explore new perspectives that are grounded into the divine feminine. So we begin to redefine for ourselves these areas, which right now women are really living within definitions created by men. So we talked earlier how the male norm affects a woman's view, how she views herself and her experience. So this work, The Path of the Divine Feminine, reconnects a woman to the truth of her experience. It allows her to embrace her body, her values, her experiences, without having to pass them through that male filter. So she begins to see herself reflected in other women, and she sees herself made in the image of the divine. That's the divine feminine.
That sounds.
Are you feeling good?
Yeah, but it also like I am. But it sounds like it may be easier said than done. So I'm curious how you're gonna, you know, what your suggestions will be, because it does absolutely resonates. So what I'm just curious, what brought you to this work?
Yeah, okay. I was in high school in the early 1970s, and that was a time of huge social change, big social change. Everything for both men and women was being called into question. And this question, what does it mean to be a woman? It just surfaced from someplace deep inside me. It wasn't a conscious question. It just came up. It welled up from inside me. And I just remember feeling around that question a very deep silence. So I went off to college, and I pretty much lost touch with my question until an art teacher, I was an art major, expressed to me that my art had a feminine voice, and I realized for the first time that I really appreciated that voice. I knew what a male voice was, and I found myself asking, it became my reference point, how does this or that affect women? But I really didn't know what to do with all of this. And then in the mid-1990s, I went to the library looking for a book that approached women's health from a deeper perspective than just American Medical Association. I was really looking for meaning, something deeper. And I found Dr. Christian Northrup's book, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. And her book really spoke the energy language of the sacred woman. For me, it was the beginning of a journey I always knew was there. I think this is where the question came from. It was a very huge moment for me because that was the beginning of the journey that would answer this question, what does it mean to be a woman? So the question initiated the whole journey. And it was a question that I lost and would, you know, would come back, but it was always there.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really, you know, one of the things that I teach is for my members is that the answer is in the question. So when I send out, you know, I share lots of information, and I'm always saying the answer is in the question. In fact, even in course, the Rich and Sexy Feng Shui Formula course, there's an entire section devoted to asking yourself particular questions on a daily basis, and there's a philosophy behind how it's actually done, but you ask yourself the question so you can really get to the heart of the matter, and it's amazing how when you just ask yourself the question, what starts to bubble up and what, you know, where you, you might not have been aware before, but once you ask for the question, your intuition automatically searches for an answer.
Yes.
So how did you come to create the program then? Is that what spurred your program?
The question and finding Dr. Christian Northrup's book, so I kept going back to the library and discovering all these amazing books. And I thought I was going to create a menstrual calendar for women to chart their cycles, and I wanted to fill it with lots of wisdom to guide women, because there's just this silence in the culture about women and their bodies. And so I'm doing all of this reading. And at some point in time, I realized that in every area of my life, my perspective had become grounded into this new world of thought that I talk about. And then one day, it just flowed out of me, this rough outline for a whole series of courses that would speak to women in core areas in their lives and then ground them into the divine feminine. And I have to tell you, I was so excited about sharing the work that I had done with other women. It was very moving for me, because this journey for me was so transformational.
Well, I can definitely relate to that. That was like when I first began feng shui in 2003, and I had my home feng shui'd by a wonderfully wise woman, and from there it opened up a whole new world for me. But people say, well, how did you get into feng shui? And I tell them, it really got into me. Because once my eyes were opened, and I had transformation in my life and in my attitudes and in my circumstances and in my relationships with how people related to me and how I related back, I mean, there was just no turning back. It was amazing. It was like, oh my gosh, this whole new world is in front of me. So I can totally relate. So how has this work changed you then, personally?
Okay. First, what I think of when I talk about this work for myself is that I felt like I came home. I really did. Home to my body, home to my mind and my spirit. Because before I found this path, I felt like I was wearing clothes that did not suit me. I did not feel at home in my body. I was trying to fit into this male norm system, and it just didn't resonate true for me. I felt like I had to set aside who I was in order to participate in the male model. And I no longer feel that way. I no longer feel like I have to buy into that model. So the first thing is it was a homecoming. Secondly, I would say that it allowed me to be seated into my value system, my body, and my experiences, because the path of the divine feminine shatters the silence. We just don't even realize there's this silence around a woman's experience of life. We don't realize how much it's a male model and male definitions. The path of the divine feminine speaks the language of women. So I no longer feel the need to justify or apologize for my perspective. I know it's as valid as any other. And I have to tell you, going through college, you know, when you felt like you were offering your perspective, you just didn't feel like it was as valid as a man's. So third, my sense of self, this is fundamental, has fundamentally been transformed. I know that as a woman, I have deep resources of wisdom that I bring to the culture. So I need to make an important point here. Women need to do this work of reconnecting with the wisdom of the divine feminine in their own lives first. Women have to do this work personally, and then we bring the voice of the feminine back into the public arena. But it starts at home. It always starts at home first.
Well, which is why we are thrilled that you are our guest expert, because the Rich and Sexy Feng Shui course and membership site is all about starting with yourself and starting at home, because that's where it all begins.
Yeah.
So then how
yes,
does your work... Pardon me.
go with that. I was just going to say, Hera, your whole work is in the realm of the divine feminine.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So now I'm going to be asking myself if I have a masculine voice or a feminine voice, though, because it's interesting, you know,
you have both.
To members. Yeah. That's interesting. I'll tell you, you've created some thought-provoking questions that I'll be thinking about after I hang up from this telephone call, probably
right.
for some time now. So how does your work help women to explore the divine feminine in their own lives?
Okay, so when I shared that, you know, the program just kind of flowed out of me one day, what was happening in that moment was I realized that the areas in my life that had been affected were the key areas in a woman's life. So what streamed out in that moment was the idea of creating courses around these key areas. So it was like this mass of information that became organized into key areas. And I think this is a really good way for women to begin to take a look at how the divine feminine might ground them into their lives in a new way. So each course focuses on one specific area, such as sexuality, spirituality, the midlife transition, the culture. So the transformation happens in each of these areas. So it breaks it down. We just focus on one area per course. So the journey is really all about creating awareness in each of these areas. So more awareness of yourself, your choices, what your programming is. When you bring awareness to something, then you can make a choice to ground that area of your life into something that is meaningful for you, as opposed to the status quo or, you know, your external male norm programming. So the courses were designed to take women on the most intimate and powerful journey of their lives, and that's the one back to themselves. So to heal the suppression of the divine feminine in women and in culture, it's the personal journey. This path, this work with the divine feminine, it really crosses all boundaries, cultural boundaries. It speaks to all women. It's a come-as-you-are journey, and it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely a process, I can tell you that.
It is.
I mean, there's so many parallels. I mean, I teach the same thing in feng shui. It's a process, not perfection. And I say that over and over and over because what I find with my many clients and students is that they have a vision that if their home or themselves or something is supposed to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
and so they're you know, there's that feeling of less than instead of just, you know, and then there's that feeling like I'm not there yet, and how long is it going to take me to get there, and you know, how long is it going to take to have that perfect house, the perfect body, the perfect this, the perfect relationship? And it's, you know, there is no perfection. It's just the whole thing is perfection. And so it's a process of just taking one step, one simple step each day and in each moment that you're aware, you know, to create that next little step and be true to who you are, like you're saying.
And the divine feminine is about really releasing that idea of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the perfection really comes from the masculine, the rules and regulations that flow out of all of our masculine. This is the way it should be. And the masculine can ravage the feminine. So it's learning to be aware of that and release that.
I think we could do a whole entire seminar just on how to release the energy of perfection, because
yes.
that one piece, I believe, and I've seen, holds and so many women back from expressing
yes.
their true selves. And I did it myself for the longest time. I was so afraid to make a mistake and do
yes.
something wrong And even with my business now, my feng shui teachings and my feng shui certifications and my membership site, you know, it's not perfect. And I love my members because they'll send me an email. Like when I sent my first email out, when I first started sending emails out, I have a handful of people that, you know, oh, Hera, I found a typo. And in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, I was so hard on myself. And then I got to the point where I thought, you know what? It's okay. It's okay for it to not be perfect. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to have typos in every email. Don't get me wrong. Now I learned the process. You do spell check, right?
Right. But, well, Hera, let me throw a book out there. This is a heavier book, but for members who might be interested, there's Marion Woodman is a Jungian analyst, and she has a book, I'm reading it right now, Addiction to Perfection, and it really speaks to this whole area of perfection.
Okay.
And how it ravages the divine feminine. It's a very powerful book.
Would you repeat that again, please?
Yeah, it's Marion Woodman is the author, and it's Addiction to Perfection.
Okay, great. I thank you for sharing that because I actually have in the site, I have a recommended book section. And I'm a voracious reader. I love to read. So I will. I appreciate that recommendation. I'm going to see what she has to say. Because just letting go of that, the addiction to perfection, as you stated, is freeing in itself. I mean, that opens up a whole new world just in itself, just that one little piece.
Right. And again, you know, going back to talking about why women aren't happy, you know, if we're going into the work model, we're working, we're mothers, you know, and we're going into it just with the male model, which is, you know, this is how you do it right, the rules and regulation, and we don't have the grounding into who we are in the feminine, into our basis. And if we've lost that, then we're run by that addiction energy, by the perfection energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that made sense to me when you said that male energy really embodies the rules and regulations that male energy. And I can totally see that. What you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I get that.
That's the male god, right?
Yeah,
we know the male god.
Yeah.
We know that place. And now
rules
we need to...
The
place of compassion. That's the goddess.
All right, so how does a woman be... I'm sorry.
Go
ahead. So how does a woman begin if she's interested in this work?
Okay, well, let me just, this is one thing. On my website, when you sign up for my blog, I give you a resources guide. And these are some of my favorite books that have guided me on my journey. And you could just browse the list and begin where you feel inspired, what area you want to, you know, touch into first. That's just one way. I give you a great book list.
Okay, good, 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 good. And you already shared a couple of books with us today, so thank you. I'll definitely take a look at your recommended reading list. And then,
Great. So
what are the benefits then? What do you think the benefits are?
Yeah, the overall benefit of this work is the transformation of a woman's sense of self. Because, you know, back to the devaluing of the divine feminine and the women and women, which is one and the same in the culture, we really don't, you know, coming out of our culture, we do not have a very good sense of self. So when we ground into the divine feminine, that is amazingly a brand new place for women. So my mission statement with my work is to teach women how to value themselves by offering classes and resources that provide women with the tools and material with which to create a solid sense of self. So I'm creating a context for women to do this work. Each woman has to do the work herself.
Well, you know what that reminds me of when you said that is with valuing ourselves, you know, because I've studied with Jack Canfield, and he's like the king of self-esteem. And, but you know, you're right. There's so much pressure. Well, I can see now the external pressures, but you know, that people pleasing and doing things that really may not resonate with you, but with a woman, but we do it because we think we should, or we have to, you know, like because of those quote unquote rules and regulations. So I can see that how having that inner grounding and guidance would maybe even help loosen up some of that feeling like you have to do something, you know, that people pleaser stuff.
Right.
That
yes,
we do,
you become more
that we don't
connected.
Really want to do, but that we do it because we think we have to or should.
Right. And again, that takes time, right? We just don't
sure.
jump from one place to the next. But yes, you can. You can get to a place where, you know, you're valuing what something means to you more than what it means to somebody else.
And without being necessarily labeled as a rebel or something like that, you know.
Right.
You know, there's yeah, exactly. Interesting. So what can women
yeah.
expect?
So doing this work, you can expect to hear from women. You know, we're going to hear women's voices speaking their truth. And let me just say something. In this culture, in the male norm culture, I don't know, I think women are probably still aware of this. Many times, you know, you can hear a woman and a man say the same thing and look at, you know, do you value the woman saying that? So, you know, you're going to hear from women and learn to honor women speaking their truth. You will ground your understanding in all areas of your life into a deeper wisdom. You'll learn your history as a woman, and you're going to learn a new way of being in the world. So you will learn to value your voice and other women's voices as women bring forth the divine feminine today.
I think that's very powerful. It makes me think of that one
it
song,
is.
I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. Who sang that, Carly Simon or... I am woman. Okay, I won't sing because I don't have a great voice, but I'll spare everybody on that. But that makes I totally resonate with that. You know what else I think it does too is it opens the door for women to connect and create with other women. You
yes.
know, just like you and I have done on this call.
Yes.
So
it's
I think
powerful.
That's a big. I was just going to say, that's a very powerful, you know, you could put a bunch of women together in a room or in a space and, you know, the things that women can create are very powerful and moving and unique.
I think they can do
so,
anything.
Exactly. So in summary, what can my members walk away with today, the listeners on our call and the members of our Rich and Sexy Feng Shui Formula course. What can they walk away with today?
Okay, let me talk about three different things. Okay, first of all, they can know that there is a model that supports a woman's journey through life. I think that's really important just for women to know that. So you can see if there's a women's circle in your area. A women's circle is a safe, supportive place where a woman can share and she can begin to learn to value herself and other women's voices. And if you can't find a circle, create one. You know, gather together a few women's friends and choose a book. Choose a book to go through together that supports a woman's journey. So if you can't find a circle, create one.
Okay.
Second, know that a woman's voice has tremendous value, even when the culture has not valued it. So begin to notice your own voice and the voice of women around you. Notice, do you value your own voice? Do you value your contribution? And when a woman is speaking, when you see a woman on the news, do you value her voice as much as a man? Again, we're starting to bring awareness, right, to our programming. So in your workplace, in your relationships, are you valuing a woman's voice? And third, you can know that the divine feminine is rising. There are women and men all over the world doing this work. So just listening to this conversation today will have brought forth a new awareness in you. And ask yourself, is this something worth cultivating in my experience? And if you decide that it is, then take some steps. You know, you don't have to sign up for my blog to get my book list, but, you know, I did list some books in the talk today, or, you know, create a women's circle. But if you decide this is something worth cultivating in your experience, then take a step to begin to create that.
I agree. Well, where can my members find out more about you and your work? Now, I will post on my site, your website, and contact info, and then, you know, again, they can listen to this call over and over, because actually there's so much here. They could, I'm going to re-listen to it. I always re-listen to the call because I learn so much from everyone. But where can my members find out more about you and your work?
Okay. Yeah, the site is long, so I appreciate that Hera is listing it. It's wellspringswomensprogram.com. But she's going to have a link for you. Thank you, Hera.
You're welcome.
And you know, like you say, Hera, there was a lot of content in this talk today. There is a ton of content on my website. So if you're interested in more, just go read my website. It goes over a lot of what we talked about today. You can read in more detail the story of my journey, the Wellspring story. I have a monthly blog in which I post about various aspects of the Divine Feminine each month. It's just a monthly. And my hope is that I inspire you on your own journey through my blog. On the Wellsprings program page, I describe the courses that I offer in detail. I've been working with women in my local area for 5 years, and I just premiered my work online this past summer. So I invite you, if you're responding to what we're talking about in this call, join us on this journey. On Facebook, I do a daily quote on Facebook from my favorite, I love my books, so I do a daily quote from some of my favorite resources. Eventually, I'll be on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter right now. But like I say, just from my website and from Facebook, if you just connect with those, you're going to start your journey. You're going to start to bring awareness, a new awareness about a new way of thinking about things to your life.
Well, Lynette, I have to tell you, this call was, you know, I know that you and I have chatted before, and I was looking forward to our call, but I didn't realize at the time how much information, and I don't know if it's just information, but how much content. I didn't realize how the deep resonance the call would have with me personally. So I thank you for that, and it's been a delight having you as our guest expert on this call. So I hope that I can contact you again in the future, and that you, if you have time and are available, that you would come and chat with us again, because this your work is just absolutely beautiful, and I thank you for that, and kudos to you. That term kudos is probably a male
now
term,
I think, Hera, now you're thinking of things in terms of male and female. Hera, we should do a talk in the future on the addiction to perfection, because this is so pervasive.
I would love that. I think that is something that you and I should definitely discuss, and I think the members would love that too, and can totally relate. Totally relate. Well,
but
with
you're right.
We have...
Go ahead.
No, you go on.
Oh, okay. With that, Kara, I think you're right. This work really does resonate with women. They know, it just resonates in their bodies that something is off, and they are looking for something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it offers a way to connect with that. That's what I like.
Yes.
It's one thing to notice it and know something is, you know, now that you know that something is maybe a little bit off, but where do you go from there? So you've offered some suggestions on where to take that next step, and that's what I really appreciate, and that's what I like sharing and offering my members. So with that, we have come to our full hour, and I'd like to be prompt when we start and prompt when we end. So it is, like I said, it's been a delight. I thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to reconnecting with you. And until then, all my listeners and members, You know what I always say? Live inspired. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Tara.
Bye, Lynette.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.